Good evening. Our visits to the industries of Kalamazoo and Western Michigan often take us to big enterprises employing hundreds or thousands of people. Again, they take us to small enterprises, giving jobs to only a few. But there are a great many of these small businesses, and in the aggregate, they mean a lot of jobs. Tonight, we're going to visit three of these and talk with some of the people who work in them. One of the ways in which the automobile industry has provided jobs is the necessity to which it gave rise of a great many gasoline and service stations. In Greater Kalamazoo, there are approximately 165 gasoline service stations and some 240 in the county, which not only sell gasoline, but also lubricating oil and frequently automobile supplies, candy, tobacco, and soft drinks. They offer such services as lubrication, tire repair, and car washing. Now, you and I often visit a bit with the men who sell us gasoline, but seldom do we inquire about their work. And so the other day, I stopped in at the Civic Center service station, which is located on the northeast corner of Park Street and Lovell in Kalamazoo, selecting it at random amongst a great many gasoline stations. I found that it was operated by two men as partners. Tom Blackmire, one of the partners, was on hand. And here is a recording of our conversation, made right in his station.
When did you get into this gasoline business?
We went into business February 15th, 1946.
And what did you do before you went into the gasoline business?
Well, during the war, I was inspector for the Navy. My partner was service manager at the Paper City Motor Sales, Pontiac Garage.
I see. Well, what's your partner's name?
Richard Youngs.
Haven't seen him around here today. What's become of him?
Well, he's away for a week fishing.
Oh, well, I hope that he'll bring you home some. Then you have a week off after he gets back?
That's right, next week.
Uh-huh. How did you happen to get into the gasoline business?
Well, I've been associated with automobiles for about 12 years. And it was just natural to want to go into business for yourself. And that was the closest things to automobiles that I could get into.
Well, a lot of the veterans have gone into business for themselves, haven't they?
That's right.
How do you like the gasoline business?
Fine.
And you think it's something you want to stick with for a long time?
Well, I think it has plenty of opportunities for anyone starting into a small business.
What hours do you work?
From 7:30 in the morning till about 6:30 at night.
Is that the hours the station is open? Are you here all the time?
No. Station is open from 7:30 in the morning till 9:30 at night.
How many do you have on your staff besides yourself and your partner?
There's four of us.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you get gasoline in here? Does it come in big trucks?
It's brought in here by one big truck and trailer.
Does it come in on railroad cars originally and transferred to the trucks?
That's right.
The trucks pick it up where?
In Battle Creek at Sun Oil Company.
Mm-hmm. And where does the gas come from that you use? Is it what part of the United States?
Pennsylvania.
Where is it stored when you get it here?
Stored in three underground tanks next to the building.
What's their capacity?
5,500 storage.
5,500 gallons?
5,500 gallons.
How are your pumps checked, and who does that?
The city of Kalamazoo has a department of weights and measures. They're a man stops in your station at irregular intervals.
You never know when he's coming.
You never know when he's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
He walks over to your pumps, draws out 10 gallons from each pump, which is put into a measure. And in that way, he checks your pumps against his measures.
I see. You know, sometimes on this cartoon, they'll do it every time. You see a picture of a gasoline service station that's forced to provide a lot of free service. Is that a pet peeve, the people that drive in just for free service?
Yes, there are quite a few that come in for free service.
Mm-hmm. Why is there a scarcity of gas? You got any idea?
Well, I believe it's just a matter of transportation. That's merely from what I've read.
You mean transportation of the gasoline from the oil fields or from the refineries to the stations? And
well,
the crude oil from the oil wells to the refineries?
I would say both.
Mm-hmm. How will it affect the average driver, do you think?
Well, a personal opinion of mine, I would say that I don't think we'll see a shortage this summer.
Here in your station, what are your busiest days?
from Wednesday till Saturday.
Do the retail gasoline dealers have any kind of an association here in Kalamazoo?
Yes, they're quite well established here in Kalamazoo County.
Is it connected with some state association of gasoline dealers?
Yes, of Michigan.
Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of the organization?
Well, the purpose of this Gasoline Dealers Association is to prevent price cutting.
In other words, it's designed to make the business fairly profitable for everybody in it, is that right?
Profitable and stable.
Mm-hmm. Do all the gasoline stations in Kalamazoo belong to that association?
No, they don't.
A good many of them, or quite a few, do not.
That's right.
Well, thanks very much, Tom, for giving us this information about your job and your business here in Kalamazoo.
Moving along now to another kind of business, perhaps you may have noticed a large and modern building recently erected out on Southwest Nij Avenue in Kalamazoo near White's Road. That's the Kalamazoo Frozen Food Locker Company. It's the only such outfit in Kalamazoo proper, although there are a number out in the county of Kalamazoo and a considerable number all over western Michigan. It all began in the West a few years ago when the farmers packed meat in barrels and had it frozen in ice cream plants in order to preserve it for future use. Well, that kind of freezing dehydrated the meat rapidly. That always had been the trouble with freezing meat. The packers had done it for years, but the meat, when it was thawed out, had lost its fresh color and was dry and tasteless. It was discovered, however, that if meat could be frozen quickly at very low temperatures and then wrapped in moisture-proof and vapor-proof paper, that these disadvantages would be eliminated. Then it was found that you could freeze fresh fruits and vegetables in this same manner and preserve their fresh flavor much better than by canning. Today, locker plants, frozen foods in the stores, and even home freezing units are becoming more and more common. The Kalamazoo Frozen Food Locker Company, which opened just last November, has over 2,000 lockers for frozen foods. Most of them have a capacity of 6 cubic feet, and they rent to individuals for $15 to $18 a year. These lockers look like drawers in a filing cabinet. The person who rents the locker has his own key, and he has free access to it any weekday from 8 in the morning to 6 at night. He can put into that locker any edible food which is frozen. Everything must be properly wrapped, however, and to retain fresh flavor, it should be sharp frozen, which means simply that it is frozen rapidly in low temperatures. The company sharp freezes meat, fish, or game for 1 cent a pound, vegetables and fruit at 2 cents a pound. In addition, it sells frozen foods, which can either be stored in one's locker or taken home for immediate use. There are some interesting wrinkles in this frozen food business. I saw one package out there, for instance, which contained a complete dinner of hamburger, gravy, string beans, and French fried potatoes. Several other complete dinner combinations are available. The company also buys and sells beef and chickens on a brokerage basis to provide its patrons with meat if they want to buy it that way. They have a butcher there that cuts the meat up and a girl who wraps it in a proper form for freezing and storage. The plant is owned and operated by Nelson B. McLean and Daley McGrain. They employ a staff of butchers, mechanics, and clerks to handle their business. The busiest time of the year is the fall season, when fruits and vegetables are being harvested and meat and game are being slaughtered for winter use. The company is cooperating with the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company in conducting some very interesting experiments to perfect the best kind of paper in which to wrap foods for storage in the lockers. KVP research experts are seeking to develop a paper which will be moisture-proof and vapor-proof, will be tough, and yet can be made inexpensively. Under Mr. McGrain's guidance, I toured the plant. The locker room proper is maintained at a temperature of 0 to 2 degrees below. It really felt chilly in there on a hot summer's afternoon. Then there's a chilling room for freshly dressed meat, which is kept at a little higher temperature. Next, I entered what's called the aging room. Now, this is a room in which a temperature of about 38 degrees is maintained, and meat is hung in the room for a considerable time in order to make it more tender. Ultraviolet lamps are kept on constantly in this room in order to prevent the development of mold on the meat. When the meat is properly aged, it's then cut up and wrapped, and with other foodstuffs is placed in the sharp freeze room. I went in there, too, and believe me, it really was cold. There are several methods of sharp freezing. The one employed at the Kalamazoo Frozen Foods Locker Company is called the blast type. A current of intensely cold air, 12 to 20 degrees below zero, is blown against the foods to be frozen. They freeze very rapidly, of course, and Mr. McGrane stated that this particular process results in a smaller ice crystal with less breaking down of cellular tissue. Well, so much for frozen foods. Driving out on Westnage Avenue, I came to Portage Center, where a lot of Kalamazoo celery is grown. And out in the fields there, I saw a couple of boys busily weeding the celery rows. I wondered what they were thinking about and what they were like. So I got to talking with them and found that they were quite interesting chaps. They showed me the shed where the celery is trimmed and wrapped and made ready for market. Here's a recording of my talk with these two boys.
Now we're going to talk to these two boys who are standing here alongside our WKZO microphone. What's your name, young man?
Dick Kuiper.
Dick Kuiper. Do you live out here at Portage?
Yes.
Do you go to school here during the year?
Yes.
What grade are you in?
Sixth. Seventh now.
In the seventh grade. Have you worked here on this celery farm before?
No, this is my first year, but I've worked on by Pete Bauma last year.
I see.
The year before.
Oh, what did you do then?
Well, mostly wed.
Wed celery? So your weeding celery is not new to you, huh?
No.
I see. How many members of your family? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Eight.
Quite a good-sized family.
Mm-hmm.
What's your dad do?
Well, he works for Jake Elzinga. He's also on a celery farm.
Uh-huh. Tell me what you do here in this celery farm.
Well, I usually load up the wagon when they trim the celery, and then after that I pull the stakes, and then I usually go and weed.
Mm-hmm. How do you like this kind of work?
I like it.
Lots of fun?
Mm-hmm.
And get you outdoors and get a good coat of tan on and have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
When do you start work early in the morning?
Yes, I usually start. Well, this week I've started at 6 o'clock every morning yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine. Now I'm going to talk to this other young man. What's your name, please?
Ken Lacey.
Ken Lacey, and you work here at the celery farm,
yes,
too. Ken, do you live here in Portage?
Yes, uh-huh. 54 Roos Street.
Uh-huh. Have you worked on celery farms before?
This is my third year.
Oh. Do you like this kind of work?
It's all right, yes.
Mm-hmm. I saw you weeding the celery out there, didn't I?
Yes, uh-huh.
Are there quite a lot of weeds to pull out of it?
Not too bad now.
Uh-huh. Does it get worse later on?
Oh, when the celery's wet, well, then it's worse.
Mm-hmm. You said you had some part in shipping the celery, too, did you not?
Yes.
What do you do?
Well, pick up the celery and help cut it and put boards on the celery and carry the boards in.
Mm-hmm. That's your morning part of your job,
yes.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Do you help trim the celery?
Yes.
And then it's loaded on, put in bunches?
We take the large celery and put that in dozens, and that there goes to Harnberg, Jake Harnberg, Chicago, and then we use put small bunches in, about three stalks and little small bunches, and then we take that in Taylor's at downtown.
What's this machine over here with the red twine on?
That there's a tire.
That's the tire. And then the celery is washed in these tubs.
Yes.
Is that correct? And these benches are what trim the celery.
No, that's what we put the celery on. We trim the celery out in the field.
Oh, you trim the celery out in the field. Do you pull it up, roots and all?
We pull it up, and then we use the knives and cut off the roots and all the dead stalks on it.
Mm-hmm. That's before you bring it in here,
yes,
in the shed. I see. What grade are you in school?
I'll be starting my first year in college.
First?
I was interested with these boys because they were learning to work at an age when so many youngsters are out on the streets or in less desirable places. I don't think you'll ever find either of these two boys as juvenile delinquents. Both of them seemed healthy and happy. After seeing them and talking with them, I somehow wasn't at all worried about child labor. And now our time's up. Good night.